This is the fifth Sunday after Epiphany, and here are our announcements. First, there will not be any blessing of religious articles after Mass today, nor will there be benediction of the Blessed Sacrament this afternoon. However, I thought we would do something we haven't done in quite a while, and that is that I invite you to come to the hall, in which we can have our questions and answers, you see, that we've been doing now for some time, and maybe you might enjoy that, but people enjoy it very much. And I try to keep it as much, shall I say, ad lib as possible, so that I don't develop anything too much to make it kind of a tract or a dissertation, but maybe just as some brief answers to as much as we can. So the questions that you have written down, and some of them are very wonderful, brilliant questions, actually, and you can have them answered, and maybe, too, we can open up to anybody in the room that has any questions they would like to answer, have answered, any thoughts they has to say. We can do all this after Mass, and I'm hoping that nobody will think of this as, oh, a free day so we can go home early. I think the least you can do is just spend as much time as you would at Mass, considering the Mass and what we say at the hall. However, I do want you to make sure that you realize that you are free to go at any time during this our time together. Huh? Wednesday is... Oh, but I'll tell you about that in a minute. Wednesday at 7:30, then have the Mass, and then... in the morning, and then there's the talk on the Catholic faith from 6:45 p.m. to 7:45 in the hall. And we will be continuing the instructions from the Baltimore Catechism, and we will start with lessons 17 and 18. Thursday, we open the chapel. The Mass is at 8:30 a.m. Today, though, before we go to the hall, if you have not had your throats blessed in honor of St. Blaise, you may do so. You may have your throat blessed after Mass today. And even though the blessing is reserved for the 3rd of February, it's permitted to give the blessing the following Sunday. So if you have not had your throat blessed, you're welcome to come to the altar rail and receive the blessing of St. Blaise. I told the people, by the way, on that day, since I was the one that had the Mass and blessed the candles, I told them that the blessing is not just for throats. I'm not going to go tell you the story about St. Blaise and what kind of a saint he was, bishop and martyr of the early church and so on. But I will tell you this, at least, that the blessing is for everything. That's what it's for. So I'm giving a loose translation, well, maybe not so loose, but a translation in any case, of the blessing that, not for the candle itself, but the blessing that you get. It goes like this: through the intercession of the blessed martyr, St. Blaise, may God, you see, through the saint, through his intercession, may God free you from all maladies of the throat, and for anything else that afflicts you. It says, Akoli bet alio malo, for all other sickness, all other problems, everything. And it doesn't even say specifically physical maladies. It says for anything. Well, that's a wonderful thing to know, don't you think? It's for any problem, any difficulty of any kind. That's what the blessing is for. See? So it's worthwhile to get it. It lends help to all the medications, all the helps that you are doing for yourself or what others are prescribing for you, you see? This blessing will augment, you see, its efficacy. And so by God's will and God's good pleasure, you see, through the intercession of this martyr, that the church is imparting to you the blessings of heaven. see, upon you on that occasion for that blessing. The reason for the candles is because these were a gift of a pious woman. The story goes whose son was freed, you see, from a throat injury because of bones he had, food he had, and the bones got was stuck in his throat. And so the saint freed him from this, and so she returned the favor by the candle. So that's why the candles are used. But that brings us to something else. And that is that if you have not received the candles blessed in honor of the purification, you may receive a candle today also. So they will be distributed by one of the seminarians as you leave the chapel. One candle per person, please, because our supply is limited. But nevertheless, these purification candles are very valuable, and they are a powerful sacramental, along with ashes and palm candles. These are the three major sacramentals of the church: ashes, palm, and candles. The candle is particularly beautiful because it is in honor of our Lord's presentation. Even though they're called purification candles, they actually refer more to our Divine Savior's presentation in the temple. The Feast of the Presentation, you see, is considered to be, in the rubrics of the church, even in the breviary, is considered to be a feast of the Lord. The reason is because it is on this occasion our Divine Savior was presented to the Father, you see, in the temple, along with Our Lady's purification, none of which were necessary for them personally. Now, we won't repeat and explain to you why that is, but there was an act of humility on the part of both Jesus and Mary. But one thing that I should say to you already this with regard to with the candles. God the Father demanded that every firstborn son be consecrated to him. It's a way of a foretelling, if you like, a living prophecy, not only of the consecration of the people of Israel to him as his special people from whom the Savior of the world would come, but in particular from the Son of God himself. So consequently, every firstborn child represented in some way the future coming of the Savior. So he wanted it so that the parents would give him, that son, to the Father in the temple, the only place of worship. In fact, maybe you should know this, as far as the Jews are concerned, there is no church as such. In fact, since the death of Christ, the Jews have no sacrifice. They're trying to reinstate it, particularly in modern times, with the attempted rebuilding of the temple. Why? Because all other, what people call temples today, are not temples, not in the strict sense. They're synagogues. You've heard that term, haven't you? Synagogue. All that is a place where the Jews meet to pray and to hear a talk, maybe to sing a hymn or two or a song. They have no church. When they speak of, I'm going to temple, that's a loose word. There's only one place of worship, the temple in Jerusalem. That's been destroyed. Consequently, the Jews have no worship. That's been dead for 2,000 years. As I say, they're trying to reinstate it. The only place of sacrifice for the Jew is the temple. And so these people went there for the Passover sacrifice, presenting their sons to God the Father. In order that they may receive back their son, they are meant to redeem him by a token donation offering, you see. Now, our Lord, of course, was already consecrated to God. He wasn't his natural son. Consequently, this ceremony was useless and meaningless, except that it was a way in which the Savior can unite himself even more to his people, to be part of them, to be one of them, to express for them his own consecration, his own dedication that was already in effect. It was also an opportunity for him, through his Holy Mother as well, to offer himself up, first of all, and we might say officially so, not only as the Son of God, but as the Redeemer of the world, whose people he represented in this act of presentation. See? So the presentation is a very special moment, a moment in which God the Son offered himself, even as a little infant, the intelligent infant, who willingly presented himself to his Father in his own house, the temple, and gave himself up as his mother surrendered him, as she would do officially so and violently so, if we may say it that way, on Calvary years later. This was the beginning of it, this presentation of the Savior in the temple. We call it today the fourth joyful mystery of the Rosary. Now, why do I say this to you? This is all part of this announcement, and all part of giving you this candle. Because the candle, you see, and this is a very, very old feast, very old. By the fourth century, it was already old. That's how ancient this is. The candle for the Christian was the perfect image of Jesus Christ. And you heard it explained to you, those of you who are at the Mass, why. We light candles at Mass, don't we? In fact, it is a serious obligation for a priest to have candles lit. If no candles are lit and he offers Mass, he has committed a grave sin. That's how serious it is to light candles. The candle at Mass is reminiscent of the persecutions of the early church when the Mass was offered in the darkness of the catacombs. But it is also, and first of all, the image of Jesus Christ our Lord, second only to the altar. That's where the priest bows to the altar, kisses the altar, reverences the altar. It is the tomb of the body of Christ, the altar of sacrifice, and as well, the place from which the sacred banquet is received because of the sacrifice made present on the altar. The candle represents these things, particularly in the flesh of the Savior. And so you've heard many times now that with the blessing of the church, see, the wax made of the product of bees, virginal bees, because the bees that produce the wax are all female. And they are virginal, without any degree of sexual contact. They produce, you see, this wax along with the honey. I don't know if any of you ever have smelled 100% beeswax candle, but it's wonderful. It's a wonderful fragrance. It's the sweetness of honey, you see, that comes through the burning candle. We are permitted, since actual wax candles are very, very expensive, it is permitted to have candles that are mostly beeswax, a little more affordable. Nevertheless, you can still smell the beeswax, the wax, the honey in the wax. The wax then, as the product of virginal bees, clearly signifies our Lord's immaculate flesh as it came from the womb of the Virgin Mary. The wick that's inside is reminiscent of our Lord's human soul, just as your soul exists inside your body. And here's the special part. When the candle is lit, we see through this our Lord's divine personality, his divine nature. And notice that it is revealed through the consuming of the wax. And so our Lord puts it this way in the Gospel. when you have lifted up the Son of Man, then you will know I am He. When He will best of all express His divine power in the destroying of sin and Satan and even death as He manifests in His resurrection. When you have lifted up the Son of Man. And so, when the candle is burned, when you see the flame that shows forth His divinity as it is consuming the flesh of the wax, as our Lord's body was consumed in death, what you are seeing is a living image of Jesus Christ, Son of God, priest and victim. That's why the candle has been valued and esteemed for 2,000, now more than 2,000 years. And that's why people, whether they realize it or not, even today, light candles. Because it is a living image of Jesus Christ. Why do you light candles? The reason is because you are united to our Lord and Savior, aren't you? By holy baptism and by the Holy Eucharist. In fact, we might say that the candle is an extension of the Eucharist. It shows forth the Holy Eucharist in a different way, in another sign, doesn't it? Of course, it is not the Holy Eucharist, but it shows it forth. And since you are united to our Lord and Savior, that candle is you. You united to Jesus Christ our Lord. It is then a living prayer, an ongoing prayer. And so we are told by spiritual writers, you see, that the candle expresses as well faith, faith in the flame, in its light, the light of truth, hope, in that the candle's flame goes up, charity, in that the flame is burning hot. It's you. You united to the Savior. And that's why you light candles. That's why you have them lit. And then you walk away. Because you know that your prayer in some measure is ongoing. Even if you forget to pray, that candle expresses your intention to keep on praying. Particularly for a special intention. Some people, and in my home it was all the time, light candles in their home to do the same thing. I remember when my mother was doing her housework, her daily chores, and she'd reach the bedroom, their bedroom. There was always on the dresser a little altar, you might say. See, an image of my Mother Perpetual Help, that was the first conscious knowledge I had of Blessed Mother, Mother Perpetual Help. And then, see, the crucifix, the statue of Blessed Mother, image, you see, of St. Joseph and Sacred Heart and so on and so forth. And a candle right smack in the middle. And she would leave the door closed a little bit, see, and she'd say her prayers and light the candle. And it stayed that way for the whole day. And years later, I don't know that she knew all that I'm telling you, but in germ she did, just as you do. And that's the reason why the purification candle is very valuable and very beloved. So when you receive it, you see, and be careful, don't set yourself on fire or your house on fire. When you say your prayers, light the candle. Hold it and say your prayers. And you will receive the benefits of your prayer, especially united to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I have my purification candle in my drawer next to my crucifix at my night's end. And sometimes, not all the time, I light it myself. if I have a special prayer, special need. And while I'm saying my prayers, that candle is lit. Dear Lord, hear my prayer. I am united to you in this candle that reflects the most blessed sacrament of the altar. It's in a way like my visit to the blessed sacrament. That's why we distribute the candles during the ceremony on Candlemas Day, and in memory and in imitation of Saint Simeon, the man to whom our Blessed Mother surrendered the Holy Infant. Now you must think, what must that have been like? This complete stranger, an old man, coming up to the Holy Family. And by some intuitive knowledge, the Virgin, you see, had no hesitation. In fact, she was happy to give the little baby Jesus to this old man. And I can't sing for you the Alleluia verse of that Mass now, although I'd like to. The chant and the way it is constructed, in fact, if you look at it, it looks like up and down. You get the sense of the old man rocking the baby, see, caressing him and rocking him, you see, to soothe him. As he says the prayer, now you dismiss your servant, O Lord, in peace, according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have set before all the people, a light, see, a light, like the candles, a revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel. Because he knew now he was ready to die. When you hold the candle, it's in a way like you're holding our Lord in your arms. Yes. Yes. Like you're holding our Lord in your arms. So you might want to venerate the candle, because it represents our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, priest and victim for our sins, for your sins. And that's what I wanted you to know about the purification candle. Now you may say, well, he's already preaching this. We don't have to go to the hall. Oh, no, you don't. You get to that hall. Get it? You get to that hall because we have other things to tell you that are very interesting, I think. And I think you'll enjoy the questions and answers. Get it? Good. Okay, now, today is also the Feast of St. Agatha. Now, I've talked about her in the past, and I'm not going to say much about her, except that she is one of the great virgin martyrs of Sicily, who died in the middle of the 3rd century, very early. And she underwent terrible torments. You can read about it in your missal. See, very terrible. And she was cured, incidentally, in prison by none other than St. Peter, who visited her. She was a stalwart young woman who by herself endured not only great tortures, but great pressure to submit to the paganism of the day. And she didn't. That's a wonderful thing. And in fact, and a very great thing, and a very brave thing, see, intrepid in faith, this young girl. The reason why I'm mentioning it to you is because to this day she still gives favors to those who pray to her, particularly if their faith is weak. And more than that, we still have the veil of St. Agatha. It's in Catania, in Sicily, and from time to time that veil is taken in procession, and it has been known to calm the rumblings and the explosions of the terrible volcano Mount Etna that you may have heard about. And she, by her intercession, you see, has been known when it's just about ready to explode, they hold the veil up, see, and everything is calm. So her veil has, in a way, by God's permission, miraculous powers, the veil of St. Agatha. So I tell that to you as well. And on the 10th, is the feast of St. Scholastica, the virgin and blood sister of Saint Benedict. There is a good story about her, but we'll let it go for now. Remind me sometime, I'll tell you about it. It's a wonderful story. And then lastly is on Saturday, the feast that commemorates the apparition of the Blessed Virgin Mary at Lourdes. And you know all about that and about the great favors that Blessed Mother gives to those who pray to her under this title. And the water of Lourdes, of course, as you know, has curative powers by the Virgin Mary's endowment through a God who gave it to her. And we have some water of the Lourdes here in our house. I have some in my own room. And if any of you need help, you see, we can maybe give you a little bit of rub the water on you and so on and so forth. All right? But anyway, there you are. So that's the announcements for this week. The epistle for this Mass is taken from St. Paul's epistle to the Colossians. Brethren, put on as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, a heart of mercy, kindness, humility, meekness, patience. Bear with one another and forgive one another if anyone has a grievance against any other. Even as the Lord has forgiven you, so also do you forgive. But above all these things have charity, which is the bond of perfection. And may the peace of Christ reign in your hearts. Unto that peace indeed you were called in one body. Show yourselves thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you abundantly. In all wisdom, teach and admonish one another by psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, singing in your hearts to God by his grace. Whatever you do, in word or in work, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Give you thanks to God the Father, through Jesus Christ, our Lord. And if you do that, you gain lots and lots of merit that you will reap in heaven. Whatever you do in your life, make sure you do it to please our Lord first. And you will gain by this, you see, a reward, even though it was something you did in time that may take a minute to do. God does not forget, and there's a reward waiting for you in heaven for what you did here in a moment on earth. Please stand for the gospel. The Holy Gospel for this Sunday is taken from the account according to St. Matthew, chapter 13, verses 24 to 30. At that time, Jesus spoke this parable to the crowds. The kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while men were asleep, his enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and went away. And when the blade sprang up and brought forth fruit, then the weeds appeared as well. And the servants of the householder came and said to him, Sir, didst thou not sow good seed in thy field? How then does it have weeds? He said to them, An enemy has done this. And the servant said to him, Wilt thou have us go and gather them up? No, he said, lest in gathering the weeds you root up the wheat along with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. And at harvest time I will say to the reapers, Gather up the weeds first and bind them in bundles to burn, but gather the wheat into my barn. Thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. And now we'll resume our Holy Mass. May God bless you.